This week on the Auto Trader Podcast.
And we've actually, sitting here in the studio,
yeah.
Somebody accidentally pushed the BMW on call button on the
that SOS
of the
button, yeah. Yeah.
They phoned. They dialed into the car, into the studio and said, "How can we help you?" From Germany. And we were like, "Sorry, it was an accident."
Yeah.
They're like, "It's not a problem. Are you sure everything's okay?" We're like, "Yeah." They're like, "Okay." And they hung up the phone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast, SA's number one motoring podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi, and today I'm joined by two of South Africa's, I want to say top, motoring journalists and content creators.
I'd like to think so.
Well, thank you for joining me, Lawrence and Anne from Cape Town.
How's the weather, Cape Town?
Freezing, miserable, cold.
Yeah, it's kind of the news around the country. It's kind of been like that everywhere for a little while now. Yeah. Anyways, we got a super exciting episode today with a question that I want to pose to you guys. But, you know, let's get straight into it. So today's topic is, does your car know more than it should? So i.e., is your car spying on you? Before I go into some of the stories I've heard, just off the top of the bat, do you think cars are spying on people now?
Yes, but unintentionally.
Yeah. Why do you guys say so? I need you to, you know.
Oh, well, it's simple. Your car is now an extension of your smartphone, and by virtue of that, it is collecting data.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. You just don't know it.
And then, do you have any sort of experience with this, or are you just saying yes because, you know, that's what the people...
I do have experience, although I don't know what the long-term effects are. But every time you get into a car that's a connected car, even just that moment when that driver attention assist is managing or looking at what your face is doing and your eyes are doing, are you looking at the road ahead? Are your hands on the steering wheel? It beeps incessantly when you take your eyes off the wheel or you look to your co-pilot on the other side.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is enough nannying already. So apart from spying on you and collecting your data, your car is already playing nanny and slapping you on the wrist if you're not doing what you're supposed to be.
So for me, I heard a story about this. I saw the story a few days ago about this lady who was in America, who essentially she saw that her insurance premium had increased and she didn't understand why. Then she found out it's because her tracking company was essentially feeding information to the insurance company about her driving habits. So to your point, I mean, it's not just about the sort of looking at your eyes and stuff. It's everything now. And you spoke about a point there, Anne, which is this idea of connected cars. I know a few years ago that was kind of the term or the buzzword around, but like, how connected are cars now?
Well, the cars are not connected to each other. They're connected to your phone, and your phone is connected to the rest of the world.
Yeah. And is that like, is live streaming or is it just a, it just kind of depends on which car you have?
Well, what operating system are you running on your phone?
Yeah.
If it's Google or Android or whatever, or iOS, that information
is all being fed.
Your phone tracks you, it tracks your car.
I know sometimes when I get out of my car, for instance, my car tells me that my car is parked here, or my phone tells me that my car is parked here.
That's Google Maps.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And it knows when you've stopped and where your car is. And if it can do that, then it knows how you're driving.
Yeah.
Are you speeding? Are you riding over pavements? Mm-hmm. Have you just killed somebody's dog?
All those things are being sort of tracked, yeah.
And what the... So it's one thing to capture data.
Yeah.
It's the scary thing is what they're doing with it after the fact.
There's a little bit of a... Was that your cat, Anne?
Yes, sorry.
Let's talk about some of the data that is being collected. So I went and did a little bit of research to see like what car companies are collecting, because it's not just car companies, right? There's a few things. So let's go down sort of the different things that your car might actually be, you know, sort of capturing on you and what you should know about it. So the first one is GPS tracking. So we just spoke about that, which is like essentially whenever you're parking, whenever you're driving and your phone's connected to your phone, it's essentially feeding to Google that information.
Yeah.
And then we have the big one that a lot of people are always complaining about, which is telemetric or black boxes in people's cars. This is the one that insurance companies love the most.
So think of it this way. Your phone has got accelerometers in it.
Yeah.
They're Why?
What's an accelerometer? Just so for anybody who doesn't know what that is.
It's like a six-axis. It knows what orientation the phone is in.
Yeah.
It's how you're able to do GPS speed tracking.
Yeah.
So it knows how fast the phone is traveling.
Yeah.
It knows if the phone was traveling fast and then stopped. That's how they do emergency response.
Yeah, whenever I hit a pothole, my tracking company calls me.
And like, say, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Because is the car fine? The phone is now fed information back to the telematics box, which is sent it to. It's for anti-hijacking, that kind of stuff. But the further you go down the rabbit hole of just how much information
is being fed,
they can pull back, it's scary.
My car is not a connected car. It's not like the car's not connected, but my phone is. So you telling me that it's not just the car that's tracking you, it's all these sort of tracking devices, including a phone, that's feeding all this information together with your speed. And
you go back 15 years.
Yeah.
The onset of ECUs, electronic control units, that control the car's engine.
Mm-hmm.
That ECU controls just more than the engine. Remember, it's you can drill this all the way down to the information that's coming from a sensor on the engine bank.
Mm.
And you actually have cars like, I think it's Bentley,
mm-hmm.
Rolls-Royce, the higher-end ones. That information that is generated by a sensor on the exhaust bank gets fed back to the car's ECU, which is fed to the car's computer, which then wirelessly connects to the internet and sends a tag of information through to Bentley head office and says, this car with this
person's drifting.
There's a problem with the exhaust.
Yeah.
Bentley will then phone you and say, you need to take your car to the nearest service center.
Yeah.
Because in about 3,000 kilometers, you're going to have an issue. Because a sensor in your engine told them via the internet.
Yeah.
And this is not, I'm not making this up. This,
I mean, it's not just high-end cars though, right? So I know you spoke about infotainment systems and how, like, the nanny mm-hmm. of the roads now. What are the cars? It's not just new cars, I'm assuming. This is across the board. It's not the high-end vehicles that are sort of tracking this information. It must be everything.
Well, it depends. It also depends on your phone. Very modern connected cars like the Volvos, for example, they have Google built in. So that's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah.
So that's basically running off of an Android system. So it really just depends on your phone and how, if your location services are on, you're pretty much connected.
Yeah. My CarTrack app, actually, it tells me about the different things that it's currently tracking. My biggest concern with this idea of connected cars and apps and connected and third party sort of, I guess, software such as my tracking company is how much of that information is being fed to an insurance house, how much is being sold, and ultimately, like, what did I actually opt into? Because I don't remember having that conversation. I probably just signed, to be honest.
Did you read the fine print?
Yeah. I didn't. I didn't read the fine print.
When you tick that little box at the bottom that says, I accept the terms and agreements, and you just accepted that they could pitch up at your house at 3 o'clock in the morning and remove your kidney.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but you know.
You signed for it. You signed there and there that they are
they're allowed to
75% share in your kidney. That's the same thing. So nobody is expected to read 20 pages of terms and conditions.
You should. You should.
But, and they know that.
That's the thing.
They know that no one's going to read it. And you basically opted in without really agreeing it. But because you ticked that box, you're all in.
You've allowed them to sell your personal data. And it was scary that I saw the percentages. It's 80% of the companies that pool this data are reselling it.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's not all tinfoil hats, you know. Some of the data is used for proper,
for good things,
for good things. And then,
but it happens. I mean, I read an article about, I think it was Audi and Audi and VW, as well as Toyota, a few years ago. They had a data breach. So this wasn't a scenario where the automaker was essentially selling this information or beating it to anybody else. But there was a hack, and because cars take information for good things, let's just put that out there. There is a chance that the information can fall into the wrong hands just because of a breach.
Which brings me, it was two, 3 years ago, there was a guy who actually, he figured out how to hack into Stellantis vehicles.
Yeah.
He could lock you in your car. He could start your car. He could switch it off. He could activate the accelerator and drive the car into a brick wall if he wanted. And that is scary.
When we get to a point where cars are driving themselves and, you know, all these other things, that's when this sort of information, because they can pinpoint and be like, yo, I want Lawrence, his car, this is the one, the hack into his...
Seriously, this isn't movie stuff. This isn't, like I said, this isn't movie tinfoil hat territory. This is
the future is now.
It is happening now. These all these things are capable, and it really is, it's being kept under control.
Yeah.
For now. You know,
what is control, though? I mean, you know, hacks happen.
The people who run the apps and everything, we have to hope that they are fine, upstanding folks.
100%. I mean, before we go into the good and bad, or rather, let's talk about the pros and cons of the world. Because, look, we're not going to change the world. This is the world that we live in.
Yeah.
There's lots of pros to the fact that car companies and the fact that cars are connected to phones and, you know, other third-party software. What are some of the pros that you can sort of, off the top of your head, spotlights and why this is like necessary now?
Safety is probably the biggest one.
Yeah,
because I mean, many cars now, they monitor your driver behavior, and if you've all of a sudden it senses that you slumped over, it will automatically stop the car, and the lights will go on, and it will just generally move the car to the side, and then they'll call emergency services. So there is that, but how often does that happen?
Not very, but it's for that 1%
that has that car. Yeah, that has that capability. Yeah.
For me, it is the accident.
Okay,
if you're in an accident, your phone or the car, whatever, it will then send a message to SOS, and you have. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. On a BMW on call, Volvo on call, Mercedes on call. All the big luxury brands, they have a system
that automatically sends out helicopters when you're in a...
We've actually, sitting here in the studio, somebody accidentally pushed the BMW on call button on the...
That SOS button, yeah.
They phoned. They dialed into the car, into the studio, and said, "How can we help you?" From Germany. And we were like, "Sorry, it was an accident."
Yeah.
They're like, "It's not a problem. Are you sure everything's okay?" We're like, "Yeah." They're like, "Okay." And they hung up the phone.
I know the insurance companies are the ones who kind of spotlighted this, because they're the ones who were, I wouldn't say misusing it, but they were really taking notes of this data that is really, really helpful.
Yeah.
And it's always the bad stories that, you know, people love bad news. But there are also a lot of good news about this. So I know some insurers use information to reduce your premium.
If you're a good driver.
If you're a good driver, exactly.
And you can prove that I'm not speeding and I don't race up to robots and I avoid small children and dogs. You know, they
can like, tell. Oh, yeah, okay, he does avoid a dog when
you're a good driver. We'll take $50 off your premium or whatever.
And that does
happen. Good thing.
Do you know, I mean, you guys might not know this, but if I am like a good driver and I want my premiums to go down, can I just be like, "Guys, look at the data. The app is telling you that I'm like a good person," or is it just like an automatic system?
Well, I don't really know if they apply that themselves, or if you actually have to give them a data pack and say, "Look, for the last 6 months, that's my driving habits."
Yeah.
You know,
let's just have a conversation.
Let's talk about how much we can cut down on the price. I don't know whether that's a thing that happens, or if they just do it automatically. They can see, through your app. Heck, okay.
I mean, it's business, right? They probably like... You know, one feature that's always been around is cars actually just tracking like the health of your vehicle. So
this is what I was talking about earlier, about the sensors feeding back to the ECU, the ECU feeding back to the
telemetry.
So you have most manufacturers nowadays, I think Toyota, Ford, they all offer in-car Wi-Fi. The car has a Wi-Fi router built into it. And then you connect to the car with the app that you download on your phone. And through that app, the phone and the app talk to the car. The car says, "Hey, you're due for a service." Tells the app. The app then messages you and says, "Hey, you're due for a service in 2,000 Ks." Things like this, they just make life that much more convenient. So most manufacturers now have an app of their own.
Some sort of,
And the through that app... And your phone's Bluetooth connection, Wi-Fi connection, it will...
It seems like it's only a con if you're doing illegal activity. Other than that,
It's having a con when people use the data for the wrong reasons. Okay, and this is about data policies. I mean,
it seems like that's what the conversation is really about, right?
It really is.
Consenting to the fact that, or knowing that, okay, the car's taking all this information.
Yeah.
This is what's being fed. And what is being fed? And to who? That's kind of the big concern.
So knowing what you're opting into, exactly that. So read the terms and conditions. Make sure that you're happy with the fact that, and most people...
Nobody's going to read the terms and conditions. Yeah, but no. Let's be honest. I think, honestly, if I had to wave a magic wand, I'd be like... Tell me upfront. These are the things that are really important in terms of do the job that I'm paying for.
Exactly. It's you should assume the worst whenever you sign an agreement of any sort. Click the OK button. Assume the worst. Assume that they are going to take every piece of information they can squeeze out of you, and they're going to sell it to somebody who's trying to sell you a funeral policy.
100%. I have a story actually.
Please do share.
When I was busy reading like all these stories, Tesla. I'm not shunning Tesla. There were stories about Tesla employees who had access to some of, these intimate videos of people. Because, Tesla have cameras everywhere.
Is that what they're using the autopilot for?
They were seeing what people were doing, good and bad, in their car. And sharing it with, amongst each other. And this was kind of one of the things that was like, guys, come on.
Talk about invasion of privacy.
Exactly. I think that's where the big problems come in.
The problem is the people who are driving those cars now don't have a leg to stand on because they consented to that data being shared. However, that data was being shared incorrectly or...
That's just bad seas, right? I mean, it's not necessarily the manufacturer's fault. That's just exactly bad seas doing bad things. And that's kind of, one of the...
Pretty much.
The other sort of problems.
So the reality is, yes, your car is gathering information about you, your habits, where you go, what you do, who you're doing it with. Most cars now have got virtual assistants that listen constantly, just like Siri.
Yeah.
And, they know, like I said, who you're with, where you're going, how often you go there, how far you drive, how fast you drive. It is scary. Like I said, it's scary the amount of information that they are able to pull. And it is up to you as the end user, the consumer, to decide whether you're prepared to have that information shared with other people. And that's what I said.
I want to ask a Nair question. So how connected, let me ask you this. How connected do you want your car to be to you? And to your lifestyle and your habits.
Lately, it's a huge selling point. I mean, the more connected your car is, let's look at the Chinese manufacturers, for example.
Yeah,
you get it's hook, line, and sinker. It's everything. It's driver assist monitors. It's systems. It's connecting. It's Google. It's this. It's that. And it does actually make your life easier. And I mean, everyone has this purpose of you want to be safe out on the road. So you don't want to take a hold of your phone and look at it. And, you want to have everything that's voice controlled. You want your car to do everything automatically. So are you willing to pay the price? But there are also, of course, a few things that you can do, but then you must know you're not going to have access to all of those wonderful semi-autonomous driving services. So in the end, you have to decide.
What are the things that you can...
Privacy versus convenience.
And,
exactly.
We talk about oh my God, my car's tracking me, yada, 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 right? I mean, that's kind of the rave. But to your point, these are the things that are selling the most. These are the features that car companies are saying, this is what we... can offer you. However, you're going to need information in order to do that.
I think 90% of people don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care that they're being tracked. They're like,
yeah,
go ahead, track me.
Yeah, you're going to work and home
and
every day.
To the McDonald's and crying in the shower, whatever. It's a... yes.
And imagine telling somebody you can't use your Bluetooth because, now you can't use Spotify because you have to connect your phone and pair your phone. No one's going to say, no, I don't want to connect to Spotify, whatever music streaming app that you're using.
Yeah. It does make the service better. I mean, I know, let's use Spotify, for example, my listening habits, what I've been doing, what I've been listening to at all hours of the night, they'll give me a daily playlist each day tailored to... my mood of the last 48 hours.
What you were listening to in your car, that information gets fed back to Spotify and says, oh, well, he likes to listen to this while he's driven. So, one
let me make you a playlist for when you're driving.
Wendy's jamming out to some country music on the freeway.
That's what I listen to, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, there's a few things you can do, though, to sort of avoid unwanted data being fed. And I think that's kind of the main story that we're trying to pitch here is, yes.
But it's also a bit on the extreme side. Because, yeah. I mean, as much as I'd like to like use a VPN to protect my data, I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah.
Who is going to go that far?
You know, I think I draw the line at doing banking in your car.
Yes.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean like when you're on your banking app in your car?
Yeah, I wouldn't want my, you know, that level of intrusion.
Yeah.
The car to have that level. Like if there's an F&B app on the touchscreen.
Yeah,
know?
No, that's wild. That's not in South Africa.
That's sort of where I draw the line.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, things like navigation, music, the stuff that you would normally use in your car to make your drive a little bit more convenient, that's livable. I can sort of understand that. And I don't mind them saying, hey, he's barreling down the N12 at 120 on his way to the nearest McDonald's, whatever.
So is your car spying on you?
Stuff that you can do. I mean, like keeping the software in your car updated regularly. Yeah, that usually sorts out the security stuff because they do track where the vulnerabilities are. So just keeping that stuff updated, just like you would your phone, is usually a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you connect the car, well, the car is connected to Wi-Fi, it's connected to the internet anyway, it will download new firmware updates.
Yeah, automatically.
Yeah.
As you drive. So is your car spying on you? I mean, the short answer is yes, but it's not like a Bond movie or like a super villain that's like...
But it could be. Tinfoil hats.
It could be if you give them that sort of control with regards to what is possible.
And anybody who has two brain cells would never allow that.
Yeah, 100%.
So let them track you. Let them see what they're doing. It'll make your
life a lot easier.
Makes your life a lot easier for convenience sake. But yeah, when they start asking you for your banking PIN, I think that's
when you know that's okay.
Yeah, that's enough.
This is where we draw the line.
And also, you can also learn where to select the opt out button, because if you do, there are some people who actually read their car's manuals. And apparently this is where you find this valuable tidbit of information of where you opt out.
100%. You can always opt out. I mean, do people opt out?
I do. Whenever I get unwanted emails, unsubscribe, then that's when you opt out, remove from
It's always too late then. It's always when, you know, they've kind of crossed the barrier. We're saying go and find out exactly what information your car has on you. Understand what apps are essentially connected to your car. Mm-hmm. And understand how the information is being used. That's... Be mindful, essentially, of all the permissions on your apps and your car.
Pretty much.
And then you should be sort of, you know...
If it really bothers you that much.
Yeah. If it really bothers you that much. But let's keep the conversation going. If you guys have any stories in terms of your sort of privacy being, you know, or you finding out that your car is tracking you in some sort of way, tell us the stories. We want to know all about them. And
I'd love to hear that.
Let's see what strange and weird scenarios people have come out from.
Yeah.
As a result of this. And on that bombshell, guys, I'm stealing a note from Top Gear there. That's the end of the show.
Monday, it was nice having you back.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while. Thanks, Anne.
Search Auto Trader.